That off all wrong. See, that's what happens when you start in a place and then it's going to make this great, profound statement. Thanks for the humility, Lord. We've come to our season of freedom, the 4th of July. Of course, we celebrate our freedoms each and every day. And nobody knows those freedoms greater than us. For that is what the First Amendment of the Constitution was designed for, so that we could gather together in freedom, and so that nobody could tell us we could not. That's number one. You know, the world, meaning America world, likes to tell us the First Amendment is the freedom of speech, but it's really first the freedom of religion. For that's what our forefathers sought to escape from, was the oppression of the church. They were seeking a place where they could be free to worship as they saw fit to worship. Freedom from the tyranny of those who were forcing their beliefs upon them. We celebrate all those who have allowed us to be free, and we celebrate God who has blessed us with this freedom. But what is freedom? Is freedom the right to do whatever you want? Absolutely not. The Galatians were given freedom in the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, that's the freedom. It's freedom to operate within what God has set for us, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the freedom to operate inside of those boundaries that nobody could tell you what your salvation means to you between you and the Lord. See, but a few came trying to revert them back to the old ways, to the ways of the law. They tried to bring them back to a way of saying, you have to do this and you have to do that. You have to do your check boxes in order to really accept this gospel. See, you Johnny come latelys can't just do it any way you want. You got to do it our way. You know, it's no wonder that Jesus says in Luke 5, verses 37 through 39, no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins, and the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins, and no one, after drinking old wine, wants the new, for they say the old is better. This is exactly what was happening in the churches of Galatia. They were being told, you got to go back to the old wine. You got to go back to the what's good for you. But Jesus said, no. There's going to be a new wine, and to accept the new wine, you got to let go of the old. You got to put away the old wineskins, and you got to allow the new wine to come into new wineskins. You got to let go of everything you thought you knew. Let's pray for some wisdom. Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful 4th of July day that you've given to us. Thank you for the freedom to be able to assemble as a group of believers in you. Thank you that the gospel comes so freely to us, that we can purchase the gospel at will, that there's free handouts of the gospel, that we can come to your word anytime we choose or see fit. We can even preach the gospel from the street corner. What an amazing freedom you have given us as believers. We ask only now that we would accept this gospel. Letting go of the old self and grabbing hold of the new. Allowing the new wine to be poured into new wineskins. Letting go of everything we thought and only clinging to the one true gospel that comes from you through Jesus Christ. We pray that wisdom would enter our hearts, that we would know the difference, that we'd serve only you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I need a volunteer. Give me a volunteer. Young person. Yeah, I think that guy right there. Yeah, come on. How you doing, young man?
Good.
What's your name?
Eden.
You got to tell the people, though. I know your name. You have to tell these people.
My name is Eden.
Did you hear him in the back, Dave? You got to say it louder.
My name is Eden.
Did you get him that time? See, they give me the mic, but I don't need the mic. You gotta get your big boy voice in there. My name is Eden. You go a little deep. That's okay. All right, I'm done embarrassing you now, okay? I got something here for you, Eden, if you can tell me what it is. What is that right there?
It's a dollar.
Is that a dollar? What is a dollar? You tell me, try to explain to me what this dollar is. Here, you can hold it.
It's money, currency.
Okay, what is it for?
Buying things.
What is it worth?
$1.
$1. Show the people. There you go. So you got to hold it up high so people in back can see it. There you go. What if I told you that's worth $20?
So that wouldn't be true because it has a one on it?
That wouldn't be true because there's a one on it. But I don't believe that. I believe that that's a one. I believe that $1 is worth $20.
That'd be crazy.
I'd be crazy? Why would I be crazy? Because it has a one on it?
Yeah.
And because it's just a dollar, right? You mean I can't make that do what I want it to do?
No.
I can't go in and tell the guys at Casey's that this is a $20 bill, give me some donuts?
No.
They wouldn't accept it?
I don't think so.
Why not?
Because it's only worth a dollar and you have to have more than $1.
Very good. Very good. You kind of stuck to your guns there, didn't you? Yeah, because why?
Because it's worth a dollar.
Because that's the truth, right? You can't change the truth, can you?
No.
That's right, and it's the same with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go ahead, you keep that dollar, man. Good job, Eden. You can't change the truth, no matter what. You know, in this world, we sure try to like to change the truth, and we think that that's something new. That's some kind of new age, they want to change the gospel thing. But I'm here to tell you, in the churches of Galatia, it was the same exact thing. They had the Hebrew people going in and trying to tell the Gentiles what the gospel was. They tried to shift and twist the truth to suit their own desires because they felt like they needed a different gospel than the true gospel of Jesus. And so Paul was writing to them, and he was saying to them, do not follow these things. But before we get into that, I want you to kind of see what we're talking about. We talked about the churches of Galatia. Okay, so here's a map. You can see it pretty good. You see there are some actual churches, the Lystra, Iconium, Derbe, it looks like Poseidon, Antioch is up there. Those are all churches within the area of Galatia. See, understand that when he wrote Galatians, this is the only one of the epistles that was written to multiple churches. The rest of them were addressed to individuals in a specific place. This is something that was addressed to the church almost worldwide. This is one of the few that we can say actually applies to the church as a whole. When we go in and we start doing exegeting our passages here, this is went to the churches as a whole. This was not necessarily an individual problem. See, God knew that we would be dealing with this from when Jesus left this earth until now. And even into the future, people would try to shift the gospel. Why is that? Well, that's because Satan wants to twist the word of God. He's been doing it ever since the beginning when he said, is that really what God said? And we need to look at him and go, you betcha. It's written down right here. And so I want to begin here as we work through the book of Galatians. And if you want to turn to Galatians chapter 1, that's where we're going to begin. We're going to be in the book of Galatians throughout this month. Great book. It is also known as the book of freedom. Imagine how that all lines up like that. It's an amazing set of verses that are absolutely applicable today. And we need to listen up because we're going to find out why that is. Beginning in Galatians 1, we're going to read verse 1 down to verse 5. And it says this, Paul, an apostle sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. That is the gospel. If you want to share the gospel with somebody, there it is in a few short verses. Well, let me break it down just a little bit more here, because Paul's saying some pretty good things in here. First and foremost, he's saying, I came from God alone through Jesus Christ, and so did all of you. For it is only by God alone, through Jesus Christ, that the gospel is even possible. For it is only through the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection that we have eternal life. And so Paul is saying, I was not sent by men, nor did I come from man to deliver you a message. I came from Christ by God. This is a message from Christ by God, period. He has not been taught by men. He's been taught by Jesus Christ. If you don't know the story, you got to go back to Acts chapter 8-ish and go through that. There's the next few chapters has the story of Paul and his conversion. That you have to do that on your own. We don't have time this morning to do that. I'd love to. But Paul is converted by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to him personally in a vision through a bright light. He was blinded. He came to the man who he was supposed to go to. He was baptized, and he began to teach the gospel because he was given the gospel by Jesus Christ himself. He was called by God. That's why the Bible is so important. Because when we go out into the world and we start teaching the world what's what, we teach out of this. Because this can't be wrong. That's what I love about it. If I deliver the gospel message from here, it's never wrong. If I follow in here what it tells me to tell people about Jesus Christ, I'm never wrong. Amen? All right. You guys are awake this morning. I was worried I was going to have to break out some fireworks. But this word is of God alone and is by God alone. Sure, people wrote it, but through the Spirit's influence upon them, for they fully accepted the responsibility to write what they saw, what they received, and what they heard, and what they were given. This is why we call it the inerrant word of God. Now, granted, the inerrant word of God is in the original languages. We have it in English, and sometimes English can be a little, on some of the very specific points that we can argue, and that's why we have denominations, because we want to argue over some of the specifics. But the gospel is the same for all Christians everywhere, and that is that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was resurrected, and now sits at the right hand of God. And he can rescue you by saving you from your sins, by you accepting his death for your sins. See, the price has been paid. Will you accept the gift? It's as simple as that. My men so often like to complicate it. We like to get our paws on something and make it confusing. But I'm here to tell you, when it seems confusing, when you're talking to somebody about who God is and who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, when it seems like it's gotten complicated, I just want you to come right back here to Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, and read that over and over again. Because in three verses here, it has given you the gospel of Jesus Christ. Very simple. Very simple word of God. This is what he has given us, is this right here. By God alone. Inerrant. And it's so awesome to take the time to talk about it. If you hear nothing else this morning, Galatians 1, 3 through 5 is what you need to hear this morning. That Jesus Christ died for you, that you may be forgiven of your sins. That he hung on a cross for you, that you may be forgiven of your sins. And what I love about the scripture is we can always come back and talk about it. My buddy, my mentor, my guy, James, I know you guys hear me talking about him. He might actually come up and preach in October. I'm trying to work that out for y'all while I'm on vacation. You get a little bit of joy to hear James. Then y'all going to be wanting to fire me and hire him, but you're not allowed. Okay, that's the rules. If we bring in a guest speaker, all right, you're not allowed to fire me and hire him. Okay, that's just the rules. Y'all have to agree to that before I bring anybody in. Otherwise, I'll just find the most boring people you can hear. But James is, I love that guy, man. He's taught me more about how to read the Bible than even I learned in seminary. And we used to sit down on Sunday mornings, you know, when I was living in Texas. We planted a church down there, Christ Community Fellowship, great place. If you're ever in Wichita Falls, you want to go to church, that's the place you go. Shameless plug, James. We would sit down, and I would get there 6:30, 7 o'clock. He would be there. He'd be prepping. I'd go get the slides ready. And then I'd come sit in his office, and we'd just talk about the Word of God for like an hour. We'd discuss the finite pieces of the gospel. And the one thing he always told me was, you got it figured out when you can tell it to a child. Because Jesus told it to children. He died on a cross for the forgiveness of your sins. That is why it's through Christ alone when it says this in Galatians 3 through 5, when it says, grace and peace to you from God the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of God the Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. That's it. That's the gospel. Those are the most important words you'll read all day. Those are the most important words you'll read your entire life. That is it. Everything else is how to hang on to the gospel. How to cling to your salvation, as it says in Hebrews. How to hold tight to your salvation. See, we're not supposed to come to Jesus and then say, phew, I made it. Let me go back to who I was. We're supposed to now cling to that gospel of Jesus Christ. Hold tight to that salvation. And we do that by kind of reading through the rest of this and saying, oh man, that's what we're supposed to do. Oh man, that's what we're supposed to do. And not listening to the gospel of men. See, this was not a gospel of man, Galatians 1, verse 6. Going down through 12. And I am astonished that you so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, people are throwing you into confusion, are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As I've already said, so I'll now say it again. Let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ Jesus. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Christ. They began to follow a false gospel. You know, the church is going to go down those roads and some will abandon the truths because stuff sounds good. As I look out inside of the United States today, I see the people in Western culture trying to redefine love as God defined it. You know, God defined love as the gospel of Jesus Christ. That he would give his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life, that he died for you, that his blood was poured out for you, just like the communion we take. This is a reminder of the gospel every week. The blood of the covenant poured out for you, that means as Jesus was taking the stripes from the whip, and his flesh and blood were poured out as his hands were there on the cross and the nails banged into his hands and his feet and as his blood rolled down. When the thorn of crowns went on and the blood poured down his face. You know, I just don't think we get a great depiction of that in movies. We see this cleaned up Jesus with these little trickles, right? Man, I banged my head once when I was a kid. Holy Lord, I thought I was dying. That blood was going everywhere. There is nothing like a head wound. Amen, parents? You will think your child is dying. That blood will run out so much. Jesus had blood pouring down his face, covered. He would have to wipe the blood from his eyes to see. That's the blood poured out. That's the blood poured out in love. He said in the garden, "Let this cup pass from me, but not my will, your will." His flesh cried out, "I don't want to do this," but his spirit said, "It is necessary to prove my love to them." For no greater love has a man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends, as Jesus did. But here's this false gospel being distorted. Not about Jesus and his death, but about circumcision. About Sabbath days. About sacrificial rites. That's what they were talking about and telling them, you don't really have salvation unless you do these things that we do. They sought to tear away the freedom of the gospel and give them back the law. But we must flee from those teachings. Acts 20, verse 28 through 30. Elders, this is definitely one for us. Keep watch of yourselves and the flock, of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. Many have come trying to do that very thing. Thankfully, so far not here. And thankfully, we've got great shepherds out there that are really focusing in on the gospel and the message and the word of God. Every elders meeting, which, by the way, you guys are invited to, they're open meetings. You can come unless we have an executive session, I think is what they call it in Robert's Rules. That's just meeting part where I need to throw you out because it's private. Okay, that's what I say. I got redneck rules. You got to go, right? Get. Or we're going to discuss maybe something specifically spiritual that we need to talk about, pray about, that you don't need to know. If you want to know, you can always become an elder, and then you can know. You know, one of these days I'll be older, and then I can know things, right? But you're welcome to come to the meeting. At the beginning of every meeting since January, we break open the Bible and we discuss the Word of God. And gosh, gentlemen, every about the first hour, hour and a half, sometimes almost 2 hours, we talk about the Word. Then we get into businessy thingies. That's the other stuff. And I'm going to tell you, we've grown together as leadership, working through that Word of God. And I can tell you that if you ask me on most of the issues, what I think, you can probably go to Brian or Chris or Kent or Rex, Joey. Joey's been in there hanging out with us. Thanks, Joey. You can go to any of these guys and they'll give you the same answer. Because we've decided that it is important that we always teach from this, that this has to be the answer to everything, that everything else in the world doesn't matter as compared with this. The answers to all the big questions are in there. And I'm telling you, that wasn't what was going on in Galatia. They were trying to twist it and bring them back. I'm here to tell you, if that ever happens with your leadership here, with me or with them, you'd best be on it. You best better come tell us. You best better be in there and on standing on my desk saying, "That's not the gospel, Pastor Brandon. That's not what the Word of God says." And I'll be like, "Okay, you can get off my desk now." We need that because the gospel should always remain free because Jesus paid the price that we could come at no cost. That I didn't have to hang on a cross to pay for my sins. That I no longer have to take the goat or the lamb before the altar or the ox to pour out its blood upon the altar. No, Jesus died for that. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also died for sins once and for all. The just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. There's the gospel once again. Freedom. And the gospel is free from men, for it comes from God. That means nobody has authority over your salvation. Not me. Not the elders. Nobody can tell you if you're in Christ Jesus or not in Christ Jesus. That's between you and the Lord. And then once you got a hold of it, nobody can take it from you. I don't care what anybody says. You can withhold this or that. I don't care. Because I'm here to tell you, you can't snatch it from me. You can't take it from me. For God has authority over my salvation, not you. I love what John says here, John and Peter in Acts 5:29. But Peter and the apostle answered, "We must obey God rather than men." See, they told them to stop preaching the gospel, and they said, "Get out of town. We ain't doing that." That's current vernacular for that verse right there. It's like the Reader's Digest version. That's what Jesus did. He became our mediator, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might become my righteousness. That I am now righteous before the very face of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ that covers me. 2 Corinthians 5:21. And he made him who had no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. No one can say to me, I am saved or not. Look, I'm here to tell you it happened. And it happens today. But around the 15, 1600s, we had the great Protestant Revolution initiated by Luther, where he placed upon his rules upon the, or his 95 theses upon the doors of the Catholic Church. And he said, "I'm sick and tired of you telling me that I'm saved or not saved. That's not what the Bible says." They actually had at this time wandering priests who would go throughout the land, and they carried a money sack, and they would say, "You got sins? I got forgiveness, but it's going to cost you. Give me some money and I'll see your sins are forgiven." I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure the Bible said that Jesus Christ died once and for all sin. He didn't say, "Go see your local chapter guy to seek out your forgiveness." He said, "Look only to me through my sacrifice upon the cross, for it has been forgiven you." And not just the sins from before, and not just the sins of today, but the sins of forever have been forgiven in Jesus Christ. Once I accept him, that's the good news. That's what gospel means. Good news. You know, that's the amazing thing about the gospel, is that it's forgiveness. I don't have to keep asking for it. It's been granted. That's amazing grace. Getting what I did not deserve. And so they had this freedom that they were handing back over. And Paul was saying, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched your mind? Who has told you to come to a different gospel than the one we taught you? For don't you know it's not of men, but of Jesus Christ? Nobody can tell you." But they can sure lead you astray. And woe to the one that does. Better to tie a millstone around your neck and toss yourself into the water than it is to lead any of these astray. You would be under the curse of God. Let me tell you something about the curse of God. That's not something you want. That's damnation. There's no recovery from the curse of God. But we follow a gospel that compels us to change. Galatians 13, or 1, verse 13 through the end here. Bear with me, this is a big set of verses, but follow along. This is good stuff. Verse 13, for you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Jerusalem beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb, from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me, so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. My immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went into Arabia and I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him for 15 days. And I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. And I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie. Then I went to Syria and Cilicia. There it is. Woo. That's what happens when you try to read too fast. Cilicia. You all say it. Thanks. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report, the man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praised God because of me. That's Paul's change. It was immediate. It was full. He came to a full repentance of his way of life. He set down what he was doing, what he had been taught his whole entire life. Paul was raised up to be the one who would know the law. He was persecuting the church for the Jews. They saw him as their hero. They saw him as the one doing God's work, doing the great work of God. Paul, who was the Hebrew of Hebrews, a citizen of Rome. He knew everything. He knew the law. He followed it all his life. And even so, he went out and persecuted the church. And Jesus Christ came to him with the gospel, and it changed him. Changed him. He immediately began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. A full repentance. Now, let me tell you, that's tough stuff to do. You know, we all got that one bad friend, don't we? Some of us are that bad friend. It's okay. You're under the grace. You don't have to raise your hand if you're that person. We all had that person when we were in high school, right? That person we kind of hung out with that got us into trouble. Okay, so that illustration's out the window. You obviously didn't have those people you hung out with. You all were great Christian kids who never did anything wrong. Liars. I had this one guy in the military. I love this guy. But he always get me into trouble. Right? That one guy. Eventually, I had to stop hanging out with that guy because I couldn't get in trouble anymore. I started to understand that in the grace of Jesus Christ, I can no longer act a certain way. I can't be out running my mouth with cuss words, and I can't be out drinking like a fool, and I can't be out doing things I ought not be doing. So I had to steer clear of this individual. But you know the funny thing about that individual is? They always seem to come creeping back around the backside. All right, they give you that text message or that phone call. Hey, what's up, Sarge? How you doing? I'm good, brother. Hey, man, you want to go hang out? Boy, it sure be good to go hang out, wouldn't it? That guy's always a blast. One of these days, we're both going to end up in jail, but it's always a bunch of fun. Eventually, we grow up and we realize we can't stay there. And we repent of our way. And we stop telling that friend yes, and we say, no, I just can't live like that anymore. That's what Paul's done. Paul has taken his entire life and he says, I can't live that way anymore. And that's exactly what we do. We change when we come under the gospel of Jesus Christ, for we accepted the gospel, the same gospel that was given to Paul by Jesus Christ, a gospel that came so freely, so fully, that saved so intensely that I can't help but be different. Amen? Boy, if y'all haven't got that gospel, let me get you back into the gospel, because that's the real gospel, the gospel that affects change. Now, I know we're not going to be perfect, but there's this newness within you that grabs hold of you that says you can no longer be the old self. You must become the new. And that is a power and an authority that never leaves you throughout your life, because not only does it cause you to repent from sin, it also draws you deeper into relationship with God. Hebrews, it tells us that we need to get off the milk and go to the solid meat. We need to become mature. We need to deepen our relationship. And that simple gospel has that power to drive you there, changing you from the inside out. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. Ain't nothing like it. Ain't nothing bigger than it. Ain't nothing that can overtake it. And our change becomes as real as Paul's change. It's full and it's permanent. No one can steal that for you. Romans 8, 31 through 34. What then shall we say in response to these things? For if God is with us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with them graciously give us all things? Now, who will bring any change against those? Sorry, man, I don't know, my eyes are cross-eyed or something. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Look at that right there. It is God who justifies, not men. It is God. So it can't be taken from you. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who is raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. No one can accuse you any longer. You know, Satan likes to come back and accuse you. You know that, right? That's how you throw the shackles on you. That's how you get fooled. Because people say, well, if you just did this little trick right here, you'd be better off. If you just get circumcised, then you know the real gospel. If you just have your Sabbath on this day at this time, then you will know the true gospel of Jesus. Wait. If you sacrifice here and you do these new moon festivals like this, then you will really know the gospel. If you really love people, you be tolerant. You hate people because you don't accept them like they are in their sin. God loves everybody, so they can just stay how they are. Folks, the tricks are no different than they were at the beginning. People are still asking that question, is that really what God said? And I'm here to tell you, you got to be able to say, you bet your bottom dollar it is. It's right here. And let me tell you, I'm going to follow His way and not the ways of men. For His way is better. His way is true love, and His way has never let me down. It has only built me up. Folks, there's only one true gospel, and that is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If anybody preaches you any other gospel, I'm here to tell you it's a lie. So we must grasp a hold of that gospel, the only gospel that saves. We must preach the only gospel that saves, and we must be changed by the only gospel that saves. For Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the true gospel, for the meaning of it all, that it's so simple, that it's so pure, that it only comes from your Son, Jesus Christ. The only thing I have to preach is so easy. May it never be that we would ever twist it, change it, make it say what it does not say. Let me be thrown aside. Let me be cast down, if it ever be so. Only now let us hold to the true gospel that comes from you. The gospel that bears your name. The gospel that comes from your Son. And the wisdom to only preach that to a world that's looking for something complex to grab a hold of, but it's so easy, Lord. They just need the truth, and that's it. And some will believe that it's too good to be true, Lord. Let their hearts be ready for that truth, for how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Let us bring that simple gospel to a lost world in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, the gospel's easy. Being a Christian, living a Christian life, being in repentance, that can be tough sometimes. But that first call, that first coming to Christ is so simple. If I haven't made it plain, let me make it plain now. Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, lived a sinless life. He went forth and taught of the good news. And then, with full love in his heart, laid his life down upon a cross. Poured out his blood. His body bruised and torn for you. And as he hung upon the cross, he said, "Forgive them, Lord, they know not what they do." So easy. He said, "Just believe in me now." And he breathed out his last, and he says, "It is finished." Laid in a tomb for 3 days, then broke loose the gates of the grave and sin, broke the chains in his resurrection, came back amongst the disciples and says, "Go preach it now." And they accepted it. Even old Thomas said, "Unless I see the holes, I won't believe." Now it's your turn. If you don't know Jesus Christ today, it's as simple as saying, "I believe. I believe in these things, Pastor, you've told me. I believe that I want to give my heart into that. I believe that I want to be saved and rescued from my sins." That's all he is calling us to when we're lost. He says, "Just come into my presence. Come into salvation. Come and be rescued. Be set free from your bonds." The rest of it we'll learn as we go. Only give your life to me now. If that's you this morning, this time is for you. It's your time to break your chains and let go of your bonds and respond to God and say, "Yes, I believe." To let go of what Satan tells you you can't let go of. But this time is also for those who are saved. If they need prayer in your life, if maybe you've been feeling some bonds and some weight of things upon you that shouldn't be there, I'd love to pray them off from you. Love you to rid yourself of those things for the glory of God. Like to join our family and worship as part of the family here in Rossville. We're not the only church.
We're part of the Big C Church. We are the church here in Rossville. You want to be a part of that? We'd love to have your family. This is your time to come forward and respond. Have Brian up front and Kent at the back. Kent at the back. Sorry, Chris is up here. Would you respond as the Holy Spirit calls you while we stand and we sing?